good day to you all. It is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there in the Mountain West. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
In Soviet America, government watches you. It's going good, man. I can feel the loving oversight of the drones looking down on me, making me feel protected and loved. And I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America.
You love drone brother. You love America.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a tattoo of Boris Badenov on my chest.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Boris Badenov is?
No.
Well, see, I was in this band called Bomb, and Boris Badenov is a cartoon who's holding an old-timey World War One bowling ball,
like,
kind of bomb.
Like Boris from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Ah, okay. Yes. I didn't know his last name was Badenov. That's funny.
Well, he's actually named after, there was a Russian opera singer named Boris Godunov. But yeah, Boris Badenov. Yeah, I got a tattoo of him.
What was Natasha's last name?
Fatal.
Oh, nice.
Like femme fatale.
That's kind of sexy. I like it. I always did have a thing for Natasha when I was a little kid watching Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Who didn't? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
You know,
right.
Who were our female role models as children? There was her, and there was, you know, the Adams lady, Mrs. Adams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of similar, huh?
Yeah.
That dark,
they're
pale,
very similar.
Skinny.
Yeah. Wearing tight black dresses.
Okay.
Yeah, so so I was thinking the other day about we're getting to the fact that, I'll just say it right now, we're really excited because in the second hour today we're doing an interview with a Russian activist rock band called Luna, L-O-U-N-A, and Luna are kind of proof that, you know, Russia, we'll talk about it more in the second half, but it's like, just because someone's from Russia doesn't mean they're bad. And there's a lot of old people my age who were taught to believe that. And it's, people are the same wherever you go. And we will learn that from talking to Luna and see just how much they have in common with the Freedom Fiends, because we know they do. And that's why we have them on here.
Yeah.
Because they confirm my confirmation bias.
They do. See, even Luna believes the state is ridiculous.
How could you not believe the state is ridiculous if you were from Russia and then all of a sudden it was legal to criticize Russia? I mean, the Soviet Union, man. Talk about inefficient bureaucracies that the U.S. is headed toward becoming.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. There's that old joke that they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. I kind of feel like a lot of people, the rank and file in Russia, knew it was full of crap. You know, they knew it was just a bunch of BS. They just had to play along so they didn't get thrown in the gulag. And I kind of feel there's probably a lot of parallels between that situation and modern America. I mean, I think people deep in their hearts know that the government shutdown is a ridiculous thing. Like, how can people look at this, what's going on now, and think it's an actual shutdown?
It's not a shutdown. They murdered someone for a parking violation the third day of the shutdown. They weren't shut down.
And they're paying people to go around and make sure parks are closed. In Arizona, they're closing down private campsites near national parks.
Yeah, they also
that are owned by people and pay rent to the treasury.
Yeah, and they're not paying soldiers, and they're not paying death benefits to soldiers' families. And they are – one of the most heinous things I've heard is they kept Obama's private golf course open, but they closed down experimental cancer treatment programs for children through the National Institute of Health.
Yeah.
So, like, if your kid's got cancer, tough luck. But Barry can go past the barricades and go golfing.
Mm-hmm. My kid
died of cancer, so I take that one very seriously. Yeah. That's what they're doing. And, you know, in the Soviet Union, when the checks stopped coming. Basically, what, you know, when they did what we're doing and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it until there just wasn't any more even funny money to print and pay people. Mm-hmm. You know what they did? Everyone just still went to work and just sold all the weapons off to other nations.
That's why we have our Mosin Nagants.
That's why we have our Mosins and our AKs. Yeah, those Russians made good rifles, bad cars, but good rifles.
The thing to remember about all this, though, like with the cancer, the experimental drugs, all that, is the reason that people can't get those meds anyway is because the FDA is still enforcing their rules.
Yeah.
The FDA and the law enforcement will still come down on people for giving out drugs without passing through the proper channels. They've just closed off the proper channels, so it's a catch-22.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have a plan of when the government collapses under its own lumbering dinosaur weight here, and LibPair or Libertarian Paradise comes into effect. You know, there's a lot of talk about what to do with the goons, what to do with the people who professionally for a living kick in doors and throw in flashbangs and shoot people for having herbs or having guns with too many rounds in the magazine or any of the other number of, you know, or have too many dandelions on the yard and take your land. Like, there's talk about, like, what would happen in that. And some people have talked about, like, Nuremberg trials. Like, literally, like, line them up and charge them and throw them in prison or kill them. I've heard stuff like that. I've heard just cut off the checks and let them starve. I have a different minarchist solution. I kind of like this one. It's like,
I'm curious.
Sell off a little bit of what's left, you know, the national parks, everything, to the people. And then pay those people 1 year, like no pension, but 1 year more salary, but they don't get to be goons. They have to actually help you. Like, you'll have drug cops come over and wash your car and mow your lawn and things like that. That's my plan. And I'm not running for anarchy president, but, you know, I think that'd be a good plan. That's my minarchist, what's the word? Modest proposal. Yeah.
I'm going to put that plan in the same filing cabinet as the aliens listen to the Freedom Fiends and come and make us libertarian rulers of the world.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, because I don't think that if you gave all the drug police and the politicians and the code enforcement officers the job of actually helping people, that they would even know the first thing about how. I think they would just stand there, man, and scratch their head.
I mean,
like,
you can teach a 10-year-old kid how to wash a car. Couldn't you teach a drug goon?
Yeah, but 10-year-old kids, their brains are into learning. Like, their brains are built to keep picking up information. 40-year-old drug goons that have been making a living terrorizing people their whole lives aren't going to be able to switch gears at that point. I mean, maybe some of them will. I don't know. That's why I think the second option you said of just cut off the checks, let them figure it out themselves. I think a lot of people would just shun them. You know, I wouldn't hire a former DEA agent.
Oh, you wouldn't have to hire
them. I had.
They'd be paid. They'd already be paid.
Well, who would pay them?
I don't know.
See,
I do know. I already said it. You'd sell off the national parks and use it to finish up the last year of ramping down the government.
See, that's why I worry about all those minarchist type of solutions, that there needs to be some kind of transitional period, is because somebody will figure out how to corrupt the transitional period. Because
it's
going to
take 18 months, not 12 months. We have to keep it going. Yeah,
and then they'll just keep extending it, and then they'll have Congress voting on how to increase the destroy the government ceiling. You know, they'll have a deadline. They'll be, oh, well, we got to increase the government ceiling. It'll just turn
Congress
into what it is now.
Congress will be over at my house pulling the weeds, pulling the dandelions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody like Nancy Pelosi or Dianne Feinstein could ever do any physical type work like that.
You know, they're really busy right now trying to use tax money for all these ridiculous things. And one of them is – now, before you think I'm anti-education or anti-woman, I am complaining about that they're spending all this tax money on all these things on TV, advertising and all these programs of get girls, young girls interested in math and science. And first of all, I just see that as a way of, like, get more girls interested in working for the military-industrial complex. Because put it this way, if some young lady – you know, some 12-year-old girl came up with some great computer algorithm to bypass the government, they wouldn't encourage her. They'd be like, you're using math. We're going to throw you in prison. I don't think you need a government – I don't think you need a government platform and advertising campaign to get people who can do something to do it. They just do it, man. Just get out of their way.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like all girls really need is a role model, a hero, and you can't invent one of those out of thin air. The government can't have a get girls to learn czar and have it actually work.
Well, who knows? Maybe the person, the secretive unknown person who invented Bitcoin, maybe it was a woman.
I thought we knew who it was. I thought it was some Japanese man.
No. It uses a Japanese surname, but there's whole websites devoted to
figuring
secret
out who
identity.
It really is.
It could be someone from, you know, the CIA. Who knows? I've heard
no,
that theory.
By then, the FBI would have figured out how to grab Dread Pirate Roberts' bitcoins out of his wallet.
Or if the CIA
they're still trying to figure that out,
the
right?
If the CIA came up with it, the FBI would have shut them down, because the CIA and the FBI are totally in competition with each other.
That's right. They don't like each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that why the intel about the 9/11 bombings didn't get through? Like,
That was the NSA versus the CIA, I think.
Yeah,
the NSA wouldn't give the CIA, or maybe – yeah, it must have been the CIA information. So the CIA had to build their own competing listening station, I think, in Madagascar.
Yeah.
And then even then they could only get one side of the conversation, so they couldn't get the full story.
You know, I wonder if this giant Utah data center they're building is really just for Facebook servers. Facebook is seeming more and more like a government plot to me every day. I don't know that it is, but I mean, it's doing really ridiculous things, like things that would drive people away. See, if you were really going to do it smart and make it a way to spy on everybody and have them reveal their innermost secrets to the world, to the government, you would make it more friendly to use, and they're making it less friendly every time. Like, they just remove the ability to like block people on, or like hide from being searched on there.
Keep your information private to where you have to be a friend to look up like where you live and where you work and all that kind of stuff.
They should let you do whatever you want on there, you know, like block everything. But then they can still – the government can still read it, of course.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't bug me so much because the way I look at Facebook is like me walking into downtown of any city, like near City Hall where there's a bunch of cops. I mean, Facebook is a very public place and cops are always monitoring it. And if you know that, then do things like don't put your address on Facebook. Yeah. Don't put your work address on Facebook. Don't do that check-in thing where every time you move to, you know, you go to a restaurant, hey, I'm at Payway or whatever. You know?
Hey, I'm not home. Rob my house. Right, don't put your real birthday. It makes it easier to steal your identity. That's like one of the three pieces of information you need to steal someone's identity.
Yep.
Three or four.
So, yeah, I mean, Facebook, it reminds me of that Cale Case quote that, you know, we don't have to worry about or ban things that people can avoid by just turning around and walking away.
Yeah.
And if you don't want Facebook to know all your information, don't give it all your information. It's simple as that.
I'll bet you it's going to get to the point soon where you can't vote without being on some social network.
Yeah, you have to sign up you have to register to vote via Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all those other sites that say log on with Facebook. Yeah.
And then to get the people who don't vote, they'll make it so you can't you have to use Facebook to sign up for Obamacare and you're fined if you don't.
Yeah. I really wonder how that whole thing's going to play out. I feel like everybody's just scratching their head about the Obamacare thing. Like, what are we supposed to do? So, and I don't think answers are forthcoming, but we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yes, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean across the way from me over there in Wyoming. What's up, Mr. Dean?
That music that was just playing was my old rock musical group, Bomb.
Bomb.
From back in the day. Yeah.
It's the Bomb.
I'd really would not like to be touring now with a band called Bomb. Can you imagine like going through airports with road cases that have the word bomb stenciled on them like we used to have.
Like you used to have. Yeah, I imagine fun.
One time we got pulled over by the police in Northern California in Sausalito, and they searched the car. They brought drug cops. Basically, they waited for us to leave the club, and they were like, oh, okay, let's go hassle them.
Right.
And they pulled us over, and we didn't know we could say no to searching, so we let them. You know, we didn't have anything.
That's a failure of the education system.
That really is. Yeah, they want to teach you how to vote, but they don't want to teach you your rights. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that last Wednesday about how they're what's it called? Common Core, the new method of teaching the slaves to be slaves instead of teaching them to be more free. But the cop said when they searched the car, they took the flashlight and looked in, and I had this giant case, anvil case that had my my SVT Ampeg SVT bass amp, which is giant and weighs about 100 pounds, and it said bomb stenciled on the side of it. And he said, "What's in the big red case marked bomb?" And I was, I was biting my tongue not to say, "Well, officer, sometimes we forget where we put it, so we labeled it."
Oh, you should have. I'm glad you didn't, but yeah. I guess there wasn't cell phone video back then, so it wouldn't have made for a good YouTube.
No, they just would have beaten us up.
Yeah, nobody would have known about
it. Bomb should reunite and tour with Anthrax. That'd be an interesting tour.
There you go.
In
Anthrax Bomb. Yeah, that's a nice marquee.
Today's America. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Speaking of today's America, I put it to you that America does not have a problem with drug addiction, but a problem with drug prohibition. And one excellent example we have that confirms our bias here at the Freedom Fiends.
You had me at confirms our bias. I'm all about that.
Good. So this is kind of a big story that Crocodile.
We'll ask the Russians in the second hour how to pronounce it correctly.
There you go. I think it's Crocodile.
Crocodile.
Crocodile is, of course, a bathtub gin version that's an opiate. Cut with things like gasoline. And
now let's
stuff.
Be a little more clear here. You're giving misinformation. It's not cut with it. It's okay. Crocodile is basically, since drugs are illegal, since heroin's illegal and not freely available in Walmart, but hopefully in a different aisle than the powdered sugar to avoid confusion. Since it's illegal and there's a war on drugs, which harms far more people than the drugs themselves, and basically trains cops to kick in doors, and those are the same people that are going to kick in your doors for your guns when they vote guns out, because Common Core is teaching all the future voters that the Second Amendment means that the government armies have a right to have guns. I mean, what army in the world – how can you interpret the Second Amendment as meaning – the army has a right to have guns. Like, what country needs to write down that their army can have guns?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So obviously, those are not thinking people. But at any rate, clarify us then. Okay. So Crocodile. It's not cut with gasoline. How is gasoline used in it? Is gasoline used in it?
Yeah, gasoline is used to make it. It is a bathtub version of a narcotic called desamorphine. Now, desamorphine in and of itself is not Crocodile. Like, it is a it has been produced pharmaceutically in the past, and desamorphine unto itself would not do the harm and make your skin fall off the way that Crocodile does. However, bathtub homemade desamorphine does, and the reason is it's not cut with gasoline. Gasoline is used in the making of it, and you can't remove it. Now, in a pharmaceutical lab, they probably would use ether or something harder to get a hold of on the common market than gasoline. You know, something that gasoline leaves oily residue that you inject and it makes your skin fall off. So basically in Russia, codeine is over the counter. It doesn't require a prescription. And codeine can be mixed with gasoline and, I don't know, road flares and whatever else they're using in this, and make this drug that contains impurities because it's not made in a lab and it's not made with the right chemicals. But it still gets you high, and then it makes your skin fall off. That doesn't sound like a good time to me.
No, you're going to have a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time.
And one of the things is, in Chicago, where there's been three reported cases, two of the cases the injector said they thought or bought it as if it were heroin. So people were telling them it was heroin. I doubt that would happen if there was not a drug war. Think we'll be back with more.
Think of the Freedom children. Beats. Think of the children and end the drug war.
There
think
you go.
Think of the children.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the Freedom Fiends. It's a live talk radio show. I am Nima Vadadi. Here in Texas, we've also got Michael W. Dean out in the Wyo. What's up, Mr. Dean?
Did you make that beat, or did I make that beat that we're listening to?
You made
to?
That beat.
Really?
You,
that's pretty, that pretty hip for me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I must have been on some crocodile from the chemtrails above my house from the drones.
There you go. Yes. Crocodile chemtrails. Yeah, that's why the DA's
that'd denying. Be a good name for a band. Crocodile chemtrail.
Or at least an album or a song, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely evocative. Yeah. But yeah, man, so two of these ladies in Chicago, and I don't know, maybe they're lying, but they say that they bought what they thought was heroin, injected it, ended up having crocodile symptoms, and realized that they've been shooting crocodile. Now, how many times have you bought Tylenol and went home and taken it, and the doctor said, no, sorry, you've been taking Advil this whole time. That's ibuprofen, not acetaminophen in your bloodstream. Never.
Well,
ever.
Tylenol is an interesting thing because when I was a kid, somebody poisoned a bunch of Tylenol, like bought it, poisoned it, and returned it into stores for some reason. But
the market came up with a solution for that. That's why they have the tamper-proof thing on the top so you know if the bottle's been opened before or not.
Yeah, but the drug that's in that – now, am I correct? I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but what's the active ingredient in that?
Acetaminophen. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Isn't that the thing that if you take it normally but take alcohol with it, it can ruin your liver in one weekend?
Yes.
I had a friend.
In high doses, it can cause liver issues, which is one of the reasons why people can die or get sick from trying to drink too much cough syrup, because they buy the cough syrup that has not only dextromethorphan but also high amounts of acetaminophen. And they drink the whole bottle, and then they have liver issues or they die.
Like Trayvon Martin, allegedly. Yeah, his autopsy said he had liver damage, and he was too young to have liver damage. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was drinking NyQuil instead of Robitussin 8-hour cough. Rookie. Yeah.
And he thought it was codeine, according to his Facebook tweets.
Wow.
Or whatever they're called. Whatever you kids call them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's just on its face. And not only that, but something you mentioned in the last segment, the problem is not just drug enforcement of the actual controlled substances, but also, regulation on the sale of the things that go into making like lab equipment, like lab ingredients. Like you said, well, if they were trying to make desomorphine in a lab situation, they would use ether, not gasoline. But how many people – you can't go to the store and buy ether, can you?
Well, that's also another side effect of that is the fact that a lot of heroin used to be white powder heroin, and now a lot of it is brown tar heroin, which has more impurities in it. But it's also because they outlawed one of the ingredients that's used in making heroin, or locked it down really heavily. So people used a more common ingredient that produces the brown version. Now, it's interesting to me, DEA refuses to recognize flesh-eating homemade heroin as a problem for U.S. I wonder if they have some agenda of, I don't even know about just the DEA, but just the drug industrial complex in general. Maybe they want to ignore this until it's a crisis to where everybody's kid is coming home with their flesh falling off so they can increase their funding. That's how government works. I mean, I'm reading this book right now, Government by Emergency, from 1983 by Gary North. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that like in 83, he defined and went back through the whole history of America. Like that is how every government in every nation functions, is by there's a threat and then they create or exaggerate or produce or poke the threat into existence. Yeah. And then they say there's a threat. You know, there's a Simpsons about that where they where someone sees a bear in Springfield and they they get all this tax money for bear patrol and they have bear patrol. They buy helicopters and trucks and pay men to watch 24/7 for bears. And it ends up being a bigger problem than the bears.
Of course. Of course. Well, that's the obvious economic incentive of a monopoly of force, right? Is they don't have to compete with anybody. They don't have to sell a product or get people – convince people to buy their services. They just have to wait for something so bad that people clamor for their funding and power to be increased. So it's nothing but simple economic incentive that causes this stuff. It's not – I don't think it's a secret cabal always planning it. Or if it is, what they're responding to is the monopoly incentive.
Yeah, and the result is that the world is such a crazy place and most people are so brainwashed that listening to us, the Freedom Fiends, on this radio show, if you're channel flipping and tune in, some people are going to go, I heard the craziest thing on radio. There were these people saying that right. The way to solve the drug crisis is to legalize drugs. I've never heard anything that crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if somebody called in or emailed you or us and said that, how would you respond to them?
I'd be like, yeah, that's it's logic to me. Of course, everything I believe, I believe. Of course, I believe it, and I think it's right, and I think everything right. else is wrong. I mean, doesn't everyone right. believe that? But in our case, it's true. Because everybody – most people, most places in the world ask the wrong questions. And yeah. now I think more people are asking the right questions. You know, it's amazing to me how many of our Republican brethren say things like, you know, we need to reduce government till we can drown it in a bathtub. And then if we say like, why even have a government? They're like, treason, heresy. That's right. not constitutional. Lock him up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
use the government police to go lock him up in a government jail paid for by our tax dollars that the government collects.
Yeah. I mean, all government exists by violence. It exists by threatening violence against people. It is captured by accidents of birth and forcing them to comply with ridiculous laws, with ridiculous taxes, and with ridiculous edicts. And if you point that out, people say treason and want to hang you or send you off Soviet style to medical mental reindoctrination testing.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the roots of the problem, or maybe something I'm hinting at being the root of the problem here, is people don't think through things. They don't think through their decisions or their actions. They defer to authority, right? I mean, and this is the whole Milgram experiment thing. Davi Barker is actually trying to do a newfangled type Milgram experiment.
Count me out.
Well, he's trying to address and he's put it out, open sourced it. Liberty sourced it, so people can try to make sure it's ethical.
Do you want to torture your friends in an experiment? Explain the Milgram experiment real quickly.
All right. So, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but I thought what had happened was it was a college experiment. People knew that they were doing an experiment. They came in. They were looking at another person, I think, on the other side of a glass, and they had the ability to shock that person. And so the person on the other side of the glass was an actor. They were in on it. And they would act like the shock was really painful.
They were not being shocked. It was a dummy switch.
Yeah. And at the same time, there was a doctor in a lab coat or some type of authority figure with the person doing the shocking who was like, hey, it's okay. It's on me. You know, you shock them as I tell you to, as I direct you to, shock them. And if they die or they get hurt, it's on me. I'm the one calling the shots. And what they found out was that the vast majority of people would actually shock this person to near death, or as far as they know, death, you know, to where the person was about to die. And they would do it because the authority figure was there telling them to do it without having compassion or reason come into their head and tell them, hey, stop, man, I'm out of this. You know, that's what you would want somebody to do, is say, hey, man, this is going too far. I'm going to leave this study. I'm not going to kill somebody just because you tell me to. But that's not what actually happened. The people followed the orders.
Isn't there some indication that Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was in that program or a similar experiment and really shocked and disturbed by it, and it may have led in some small way to him doing the horrible things he did?
Was it that, or was it MK Ultra? Or do people just say he was horribly twisted by government studies? I don't remember.
Well, he was involved. He did volunteer for government studies. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of those total, we're going to test the limits of warping your mind against other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think Davi Barker's study is kind of different. They're going to have people in a mall. They're going to say it's a study to, I guess, watch a movie trailer. You know, it's like a focus group study. They're going to come in. As they're coming in, they're going to see somebody coming out, like, I guess, a previous participant. And on the screen when they get in, as if they haven't switched the input, the visual input for the TV, it's going to be a security camera input, or what appears to be. And then the subject is going to see either a cop attacking this person that they just saw walk past them, or a regular person attack the person that they saw just walk past them. And they're going to see if anybody comes out to intervene or stop or help. And they're going to see if the instances of people helping are less when it's a cop beating the guy up, or when it's an average person beating the guy up.
Can you do that at a mall? Malls are kind of a weird mixture of public and private property.
Right. Yeah. And there's, I mean, it's obviously some demographic self-selection bias in the people in a mall who would volunteer for
something
like that.
Should do
it
at a Death Clock concert. Speaking of which, tomorrow we're interviewing the creator of Death Clock, Brendan Small, the creator of Metalocalypse. The Death Clock is the greatest rock musical group of all time.
Yes, the greatest fictional rock musical group, at least.
And the seventh largest economy in the world, just after Belgium, I think.
Yeah. So that should definitely be exciting. And we got to get him to make some Freedom Fiends bumps for us, too. Like Nathan Explosion.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends.
I think we should get the Russians to say, in Soviet America, Freedom Fiends listens to you. But we don't really listen to our fans.
Yeah.
We're like,
we kind of do.
I mean,
depends on the fan. If it's a Fiend fan, like a good old been around for a while Fiend fan.
We always forget to take phone calls. We forgot to take phone calls today.
I guess that's what you mean.
So we were going to segue to Pete Seeger somehow. Can you think of any way to go from Crocodile to Pete Seeger?
Sure. Crocodile's from Russia. So is communism. Pete Seeger's a fan of communism.
He was. You know, Pete Seeger's still alive. He's 90 something. Pete Seeger's a folk singer from back in the day, and I hate communists, but I hate government intervention and censorship more.
Well, do you hate communists or do you hate communism?
I hate communism. There's a big difference. And here's the reason I hate government intervention, government tyranny that Pete Seeger suffered more than I hate communists. Because an individual communist has no power. It's just someone yammering, saying stupid stuff that's not much stupider than what stupid stuff most people say all day long anyway. Right, and government tyranny has guns and threats behind it. It's not
exactly
more than words.
Such an important distinction, too, because if people want to write about how they want to organize a society, if people want to have a commune and go buy land and have it to where there's no property and no prices and no market economy, as long as they're not forcing anybody else or trying to export it through military action, then who cares? It's when people with ideas like this get a hold of a state apparatus and then use the guns that are inherent in the state apparatus to force other people into their beliefs or force people into anything. Either way, it's bad.
Yeah.
We'll have more Freedom Fiends after we go to the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's those darn Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vidati. I've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the microphone from me. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
In Soviet America, a radio show watches you.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Soviet America, we've got
they're so
a Russian,
not Soviet. They're not Soviet.
But they're touring through Soviet America, aren't they? Aren't they doing an American tour right now?
Yeah. I want to ask him about the Soviet Union, because they're late 20s, so they were little kids when the Soviet Union ended. I want to ask them about that. But let's listen to some music by Luna. I'm canceling out of Pete Seeger, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And I'm going to play Luna, Mother. And this is in Russian.
But it's a good song, man. Good song. The universal language of rock.
Mama, я прошу, не ругай меня, если я ложусь спать в начале дня. Лет. Это первый рок-концерт, это слэм и губы в кровь, раз за разом вновь и вновь. Это Хэтфилд и Мастейн, это Дэдстонс и Мадвейн, это шаг в опасный путь и назад не повернуть. Кобейн, это лето и портвейн, это первое баре, на гитаре во дворе, это Битлз и Вудсток, это Пистолс и панк-рок, это то, что нас тогда изменило навсегда. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Luna. That was Luna. That song's called Mother, and it's got their mothers in it. It's about how their parents originally didn't understand that they did rock and roll and then came to love it and accept it. And it shows their mothers, their actual mothers, helping them get ready for a show and dress and do the girls' makeup. It's pretty cool.
Accept it. Like What's they were that? Coming out. Like they were coming out. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever you like. If you want to be in a rock musical band, that's okay.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, it shows their bedrooms. There's like pictures of Kurt Cobain on the wall. So, you know, it's pretty. There's some Western Russians. And, you know, I've always said that the wall didn't fall in Berlin and the Russian Soviet Union didn't fall because Reagan said, tear down this wall. It was already on its way down, man. It was blue jeans and 10th generation rock and roll cassette tapes smuggled in people's backpacks.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. I can hear the influence too, man. Their guitars rock hard.
Nirvana-ish.
Their production is just, the edge is right there in your face, and it's dirty, but
it's accepted. It's, you know, it's poppy too, man. They're going to, I hope they go far. Yeah. They have some stuff in English too, and we're going to interview their guitarist, who's Russian, and then their libertarian American lyricist.
Yeah.
Who also lives in Russia. He's defected from America to Russia. That's weird when you go to Russia for freedom, man. What does that say about America now?
Exactly.
And where it's headed. We'll have an interview with Luna from Russia when we come back from the market on the Freedom Fiends.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
And we're back on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us in hour two.
Yeah.
And I am Nima Vadadi. In case you didn't already know, we've also got Michael W. Dean over there in Wyoming. How's it going, man?
It's going good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And in the last segment, we heard a song Mama by the band Luna. We don't usually play music on this show. It's a talk show. But now Luna can say that they've been on a bunch more radio stations that wouldn't play them when they do their listing of airplay. So I grew up during the Cold War, and we had to do duck and cover drills in grade school to practice hiding under our desks from Soviet nukes. I was taught to hate all Russians as soon as I could speak. I was also taught that everything American was noble and everything and everyone outside of America was second rate or worse. But when I toured America with my band Bomb in 1990, when I toured Europe with my band in 1990, I met people from many countries. I realized that people are the same wherever you go. Most people in the world just want to have someone to love and something rewarding to do. Most people just want to provide for their families and want a better life for their children than they had themselves. That's pretty much universal everywhere. So when I heard that a Russian rock band, Luna, L-O-U-N-A, was touring America, we eagerly got in touch with them and invited them to be interviewed on the Freedom Fiends. And we have an interview first with Ruben and then second with Travis. So do we have Ruben there on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Cool. It's an honor to have you guys on here. So have you guys ever been oppressed for playing music?
First of all, let me say hi and thank you for having us on the radio. And
yeah,
really appreciate it. Yeah, it's been very cool, and you're talking about Russia, yes?
Yes, and America.
and America. No, we're not impressed, neither in Russia or America, but, it's still not like that but we are very much concerned that what is happening now is Russia may end up like this. So this is why in our music and our lyrics, we're kind of trying to raise those topics of issues of freedom, human rights, and so on, because people have to remember that what we gained after the collapse of the Soviet Union is something which we may lose like 20 years after.
What's your biggest concern, Ruben, about the kind of human rights that you could lose in Russia? What are the kind of issues you guys are most concerned about?
Well, tons of small things. You know, authoritarian or totalitarian stuff starts from a small thing. And like, you come to Russia right now, you're going to see a very good facade. We have parliament, we have elections, we have people voting. We have different political parties, we have opposition, and everything looks fine. But when you go down to the level of common people, you know, there are a lot of small things that start to kind of press. Like one of the most significant stories in Russia, like recently, was the story with what you guys call Kitty Riot.
Kitty Riot. Kitty Riot. We call him that. That's not the real name. We don't say on the radio the full name of the band, but people here will know what we mean by Kitty Riot. It's a female Russian band who got in trouble for interrupting a church service with their music and were thrown in prison. You know, and my thought on it, and I've read the thoughts of your singer and talked to Travis, and he felt the same way. I wonder if you feel the same way, is that what they did was kind of rude and probably in a real ethical society probably would have been a tiny crime, like maybe a $200 fine for trespassing.
Yeah.
But they were thrown in prison and made political prisoners. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. And asking to your previous question, like what's wrong with Russia? You know, the whole thing with Kitty Riot, we don't support what they did. We don't agree with that. You're right. That's kind of rude. But still, the way they were treated for that is, you know, the way they were treated display that the whole, like, political system in Russia is just a facade. It's authoritarian. The judge, the court, the church, the president, and the prime minister with their official position, you know, displayed support for the most, you know, harsh way to treat those girls. I mean, really, they didn't do something like, you know, you get in prison for 2 years for. That kind of story shows that we have real problems in Russia to dig in. I'm not sure if I'm getting my ideas correctly. I'm sorry, but English is not so cool.
That's okay. I have heard that there are people in Russia, older people, who miss Stalin, and they miss the pageantry of Stalin, and they miss something about Stalin. Have you encountered people like that?
Yeah, and what is one of my biggest concerns is that the number of these people is constantly growing, and I clearly see that the reason for that is people want more order. You know, what would happen in Russia now, you know, it looks like everything is okay, but you just walk down the streets of Moscow, there's a lot of disorder. Like, people are afraid of police even more than kind of bandits of criminals, mm-hmm. because with criminals you can agree, they, you know, deal with them. But the police, they have kind of plan for criminal cases to be
the police
properly.
Have more power than the average criminal. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
It's like that here too. It's like that in America too. It's getting like that in America. Like every day, we hear more stories of police just out and out abusing their power, like shooting people for no reason, shooting their dogs, you know, just doing all sorts of horrible things. And
exactly. So people in Russia want like more order. They say, okay, get a lot of laws, but let us follow these laws, let these laws actually work. Because right now, if you're a policeman, you're technically absolutely free to do anything with anyone. And that's why people want Stalin. So, people wanting Stalin to come back are people who want law to return to Russia. Simple law.
There are Americans who like Putin also. You don't like Putin, I assume, do you? What do you think of Putin?
Yeah, I don't like him. And, frankly speaking, I do not consider him to be a president of a country. He's a manager. And, you know, see, if you look at the example of the situation in Russia, he's not a good manager. well, economic interest of elite in Russia right now is what is doing very well. You know, there's a limited number of people, maybe close friends, maybe someone he was going to school with when he was a teenager or whatever. These people are kind of having all these big banks, you know, president of, or CEOs of big companies, oil companies, gas companies. And these people get all these big contracts, and, you know, we see that a lot of money being spent on, like, Olympic Games in Sochi in 2014. But we see that a lot of budget being simply stolen. And, you know, I don't think that's about that. So we really want somebody who is president of a country, not a company.
Right. Yeah, it sounds a lot like the way America works now. You know, President Obama's biggest donors were the big banking and the big Wall Street interests, and his policy reflects that. One interesting thing I found about Vladimir Putin, though, he is a politician, and he suffers from all the problems that every politician ever suffers from, in that he's corrupt and he's got an immense amount of power, which corrupts him even further. But he did try to check Obama's power, you know, with the Syria thing, calling out the president, working out a peaceful resolution. I mean, I guess we haven't seen it come to fruition yet, but basically acting like a check against American warmongering. And in an article he wrote in the New York Times, he called out the concept of America exceptionalism, saying it's dangerous for America to call themselves exceptional, because then they are going to do things, they're going to act like they're better than everybody else, and that they have a higher moral category. How did you feel about Vladimir Putin's words, if not his actions, when it comes to calling out the president of America for saying that he's exceptional and saying, hey, we're all equal here? How did you feel about that?
Well, when Putin is saying something in public, he is talking not to Americans in the first place, not to the international audience. He's talking to his to the people who support him in Russia. There are a lot of people in Russia who, under the influence of media, think that America now becomes the ruler of the world. They can do everything. It's like a kind of a new world order, and that's the only country in the whole world that can send their fighters and bomb any country if they think anything is wrong country. And that position is quite, you know, popular in Russia. So when Putin is trying to kind of
he's just telling people what they want to hear, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he gets a lot of support from that. Well, whenever he's kind of being aggressive towards America, people say, oh, yeah, cool. That's how we should do it. That's how we should have done it from the, you know, very beginning. Wow. Well, we have people like that, and but, you know, it's very hard to explain difficult stuff for people, and media usually uses very simple things.
Right. So how do if that's how a lot of people in Russia feel about the United States, how do they feel about President Obama? Did they think he was going to be different at first, different than Bush, and how do they feel about him now that he seems pretty much the same?
Like common people that are not, you know, frankly speaking, not a lot of people are really interested in what is happening in America. Whenever America goes to Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere else, then people try to be interested in. But what happens in, like, you have your medical insurance system reform and something like a government shutdown. Nobody knows what it is. But really, there are a lot of people who think that, look, when Obama came, particularly after Bush, everybody thought that, okay, the new Kennedy is coming. But now people are saying, look, that guy is ready to bomb again. So here, he's got his second presidential term, and that's going to be his last term. And now he's ready to send his fighter planes to Syria, or he's ready to bomb the world.
I'm glad they see that. I'm glad that they see that. Yeah. We're going to go have an ad break here and go to the market, the free market, and then we're going to come back with more with Ruben from the band Luna from Moscow on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, Freedom Fiends, welcome back to the Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati, here with my good friend and radio colleague, co-host Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
Excellent, excellent. So we're doing an interview, a live musical rock interview with a band called Luna, L-O-U-N-A, from Moscow, Russia, the former Soviet Union. You can find Luna online at Luna Rocks, LunaRocks.com, and they are currently touring America if you want to go see them in person and rock out with your socks on in America, coming to a club near you. They're playing a lot of the clubs that I used to play with my band and my band Bomb. And I know that they're fans of the Nirvana, of Kurt Cobain and the Nirvana. And I'm going to send them – there's an interesting article written by Nirvana's bass player, Chris Novoselic, talking about how great my band Bomb was. So I'm going to send that to them later. And I think
– self-plug.
I think the cuss dump is fully built, so I'm going to throw it to you, Nima, to ask the next question.
Yeah. Well, Ruben, you were telling me that a lot of your lyrics, your Russian lyrics, they have a message. This isn't just regular old rock and roll for fun. You guys actually have issues you want to talk about and you want to make people aware of. Go ahead and give us a few examples of your the lyrics that you think do the best to spread the message of freedom.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that when we started this back in 2008, we were not very politically or social kind of lyrics band, but you know, that was exactly the time when Mr. Putin started to realize his plan of coming for the third term, and we started to see that things are not changing in the country, and we thought, like, well, I think we should address some kind of those topics. So freedom, being able to express yourself, being able to express opinion which is different from the ruling party. Like, we have LGBT kind of community problems in Russia right now, and we think that is not okay. And we try to raise those kind of topics. We see that religion, like most of the guys in the bands are atheists, but we see
the church is in Russia is it's not about having people who believe in God. Church is becoming like a new political power, and we're absolutely against that. It's not about belief. It's like about control. So these kind of topics we try to raise.
Well, historically, the church was the state. And then about 300 years ago or so, states started taking over the church's power and became the state. And really, I don't think that any religion has any power to hurt anybody except with the power of the state now. How do you feel about that?
I absolutely agree. But as I said earlier, like this, the whole story with Kitty Riot just displayed that church is starting to use the state and the power of the state to control people, to impose. Like 10 years ago, I could say that I don't believe in God and that was all right. But now if you say, look, I don't believe in God, people would look at you like, ah, you're okay? It's dangerous. You know?
They shouldn't talk like that.
They
call it hate speech. You know, we have one of the buttons I'm sending you, the Freedom Fiends buttons we're sending you, say, state speech is hate speech.
Cool. Awesome.
Yep.
So are people receptive, Ruben? I mean, do people listen to the lyrics? Do you have a following of people who really get the message that sort of transcends the music?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that one of the key reasons that our band became very popular in Russia, because people want lyrics like that. People want these issues to be raised. People want a band playing rock music, kind of heavier rock music, to be protesting with those kind of issues, those kind of stories. And we clearly see that people react and people like that and people say, come on, guys, you have to push on, and that's cool.
How popular are you in Russia? How many people come see you when you play in Russia?
It's hard to say, but for instance, we have an album coming out in December in Russia, in Russian language. And we have booked a presentation in a hall, like about 4,000 people, and I think it's close to being sold out even now. So
nice. We're really glad you're doing it, and we're glad not a lot of bands from Russia come to America. And let me ask you this. I have heard that part of why communism fell was because there was a free market demand for other culture, for Western culture. Like, you know, of all people, like Bruce Springsteen went and played, I think, and Bon Jovi played in the Soviet Union before the fall. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do, and it was a very, very, significant moment for me, because I was just a 14 years old teenager. It was called Moscow Peace Festival. And there was Bon Jovi, Scorpions, there was Kid Rowe, Motley Crue, Ozzy Osbourne, and my parents just would not let me go there because I was too small, so I was so sorry. And since then, I've been waiting for, like, how many years? For Bon Jovi to come. I'm a big fan of Bon Jovi.
Cool.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property. Just for the podcast. You're not married?
No, not married. Happily single.
Cool. Are you considered the sixth member of the band?
What's that?
Are you the sixth member of Luna?
Only in English. Yeah, I have really very little, if nothing, to do with their Russian side of things. I just kind of hang out at the concert and drink the free booze, and that's the extent of my involvement in Russia.
Well, you write the lyrics, and you have an American driver's license.
Yes, I do.
Are you doing all the driving?
Yeah, I'm managing the tour, driving, and liquor acquisition, I guess, would be my other duty.
Hey, if you guys really like those buttons that you're going to get on Tuesday at the club that we sent, and there's not enough of them, email me and I'll send you more to another show. I'm also going to try to get you on another radio station that's on like 10 times as many shows. Free Talk Live.
That would be awesome.
It's the only other. There are two libertarian syndicated radio shows in America. We're one and Free Talk Live is the other.
I will tell you, interesting tidbit, at least to me.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Yeah, hold that thought.
Ask me about it. Perhaps. You're going to want to know.
Okay.
Okay.
During the commercial. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I, of course, am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, Michael?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. You're in Austin, Texas, right, Nima Vedati?
You got it, yeah.
Or Brownsville
ATX.
Or some other
I guess technically Round Rock, which one of the big roads in Round Rock is called Sam Bass Road. And we went to downtown to have coffee this morning, and they had a big billboard of who Sam Bass was. And he was a 27-year-old bank robber, attempted bank robber. He didn't even successfully rob the bank. He was shot and killed on that street, and then they named the street after him and made a big headstone.
That's Texas.
I have no idea why.
His
only claim to fame was his failed bank robbery.
Yeah. In my town, they name things after Dick Cheney. In your town, they name after other bank robbers.
Apparently, yeah.
So we are continuing our conversation here with the band Luna, L-O-U-N-A, from Moscow, Russia. And we are talking to Travis, their American who's defected to Russia for more freedom, because that's the way the world is these days. Their lyricist and road manager, their English lyricist and road manager. How you doing there, Travis?
I'm doing fine. I'm sweating in an air-conditionless bunker called a Chevy Express van somewhere north of Delano, California.
Hey, it's better than, better than being in a Russian car. The Russians make great rifles and not very good cars, as I recall.
Yeah, they make good matchboxes. You know, when you said, you know, I'm actually triple honored to be on this program at this point. When you said in a windowless bunker in Wyoming, I was like, oh my God, I'm on that radio program.
How'd you know? Or you just wanted...
I used to listen to you guys. Yeah.
Did you really? And you didn't know it?
Yeah. I had no idea what radio. My publicist said, "We got a radio thing for you to do." I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah. Yep. So, you're a libertarian, huh?
I am.
Is there libertarianism in Russia under that name or a different name?
Not really, not that I know of. I mean, I'm not a citizen of Russia, so I can't vote, whatever good that would do. I don't take part in the protests, not because I don't agree with what they say, but because they do random and mass arrests at these protests.
Yeah,
and the last thing that those people need over there is to have, look, it is American infiltrator. He's here to poison our minds. I don't need the Gestapo over there that parade as military police.
Yeah. So can I ask how old you are?
Adding fuel to the fire.
How old are you?
You can ask. It's a very nice question. And the next question would be, I'm 41. I'll be 42 in 3 days.
Okay. So you grew up being told that Russians were bad people like I did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
When did you realize that people are the same wherever you go and it's the nations, it's the leaders that are bad and not the people?
Well, I'll answer that. First, you asked me about libertarian. I just remembered when I was 18 years old, living in Bakersfield, California.
Woo!
I saw a something on C-SPAN, and then I picked up Robert J. Ringer's book, something about freedom. I can't remember. It was like the treatise on libertarianism. I read it, and then I got together with another guy, and we actually founded the Libertarian Party in Bakersfield. I was the first secretary of the Libertarian Party in Bakersfield, California. We met at a Shakey's or a Straw Hat Pizza or something was our first meeting. I have kind of a weird story. I worked in sales and management for a long time, and then I decided after I got divorced to just have a Fight Club moment and went back to university and got my degree in English linguistics. And then I said, what am I going to do? I don't know. I'll go teach. Let's go teach in Russia. Why not? And it kind of, not exactly, but kind of sort of began there. And it was frightening the first time getting off a plane. It was actually in Kiev, Ukraine. And I'm like, I'm now in the Soviet Union. And I walk off the plane down these little steps from those old 1960s things that fly, that drive up the little stairways that you walk down literally from the tarmac into this room. And I looked over and I saw one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. She was probably 5'11", blonde, maybe 115 pounds, wearing a skirt. And I look, and she's a cop.
Yeah, it's weird.
She was airport security in Kiev. I said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm home. If the airport security looks like this, I hesitate to even imagine what you know, non-military types look like. It was right. Amazing.
And people were you able to get yourself strip searched at that point?
I tried like hell. If I can say hell.
Yeah, you can say hell.
Hell is okay.
Yep. So did you have something to say about the band Kitty Riot?
Kitty Riot. That's an interesting spin on the actual name of the band. I'd never heard of them. We'll call them P Riot, but letter P. I had never really heard of them. They're not musicians.
They are not musicians, man.
They're street musicians. If you've heard their music, you will understand they're not musicians.
I'm doing air quotes when I say music. Have you heard their air quote music?
Yeah, I do that constantly. They're protest artists. They're protest artists. They're feminists. We support them. But I had never heard of them before this whole fiasco happened. But what happened to them was inexcusable. I mean, they did something stupid. And what they did was, albeit with a purpose, but they didn't do anything to deserve to get, 2 years in prison. I mean, it should be a fine or maybe a couple days in jail or some probation or community service.
Yeah.
But 2 years in prison in Siberia for singing a song about their political beliefs in a church. That's all they did.
Yeah. They trespassed, basically.
Yeah. It was trespassing. That's it.
In LibPair, which is what we call Libertarian Paradise, in LibPair, that'd probably be a $200 fine, and there'd be no...
Well, it'd be a $200 fine paid to the church,
yeah,
you know, not to the
state.
Government.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, what do you have any interesting road stories that are radio-friendly?
Well, I mean, in Russia or in the U.S.?
Either.
Well, I can tell you we got here September 25th, about midnight in Jacksonville, Florida, played like 5 dates in Florida. And when we did New Orleans and we got to Dallas, we went to a Super Salad place right outside, maybe 5 minute drive from the venue, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, busy shopping center, lots of big anchor stores, you know, all the big names. And we went in for maybe 25, 35 minutes. We went out to, you know, get back in the car, and I'm like, where's my suitcase? And I looked over, where's my backpack? And I looked over, and I'm like, where's their backpack? I'm like, oh, my God, we just got robbed. I was thinking, oh, my God, I know I locked the door. I know I locked the door. I know I did it. And I'm getting out, and I'm like, don't touch the van, you know, and screaming at everybody. I was like, get out, don't touch anything. And, you know, 2 hours later, of course, Dallas PD, here we are. And somebody had popped the lock on our cargo door. They got all our laptops and iPhones and iPads and money. And our roadie lost like almost $3,000 in cash. One of my guitarists lost his Russian passport. I mean, I literally had nothing but the clothes on my back and my phone.
Welcome to
that
America.
Was it. They took everything. Yeah, well, you know, I don't dislike Dallas. I have nothing against Dallas. The police department has been amazing.
Really?
Getting us the police reports we need. Yes, they have been amazing. At least doing what they can do, which is helping us to get the police reports for the Russian embassy so that our guitarist, Ruben, who you just talked to, is the guy who lost his passport. Now, we've got to actually go to Seattle for a concert on the 15th. And so on the 16th, first thing we're doing in the morning, going to the Russian consulate with that police report. If we didn't, we wouldn't have had that police report, he wouldn't have been able to get his passport, and we don't know what we would have done. So they were really, really, really helpful. They were very polite. They were very kind. They were very helpful. And that, coming from me, that's high praise. I usually can't say that about police, but I will say that the sergeant that we ran into, the officer that we ran into, were all, they took us very seriously. They got the people out there to take fingerprints, and the show went on. We went on to get a really, really good concert review in Dallas, the House of Blues, that night. And I think everybody's frustration and energy just went out on the stage.
So,
it was really cool.
So basically, it's praiseworthy when police actually do their job, is what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, in a private market,
bureaucracy is bureaucracy.
You know, yeah. in a private society where there were competing law enforcement or justice organizations, you'd go to the one with the good rating. You know, you wouldn't have to worry that maybe the police will do their job. You would find the one that had the highest rating and go to them.
Yep, no argument for me, but just one voice, you know, and we have to live within the system we have until we find a way to change it. And in order to change it, you've got to tear down the old one. You can't just put something on top of a broken system. The original system has to be torn down first.
I don't know about that. Here's what I think. I've always been a big fan of the band Fugazi and the band Minor Threat and the label Discord. And I know Ian, and I've interviewed him several times, and his whole thing was like, we're not out to smash the major labels, and we don't hate them. We just think they're boring. So we created a system outside of them that people flock to instead of them. And I'm seeing a lot of that happening now with things like people using Bitcoin as currency and people just ignoring stupid demands and having their own system outside of the other system while the other system just eats itself.
Well, that's fine. That's completely cool. What I'm referring to is when you've got a governmental system, that is something that doesn't accept competition.
Right.
It does accept it. So you have to literally tear it down. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do with school choice. And that's why all the school unions are against it, because they know that it's the slippery slope to their demise. They know it.
Yep.
Because given a choice, a parent's going to send their children to the best school in every instance. I mean, there's I want to send my kid to the school that sucks. You know, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to send their kids to the best schools possible. That's like priority number one as a parent: food, clothes, and education. That's it.
And we'll have We'll have more on the Freedom Fiends with Luna when we come back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right, folks, thank you so much for sticking with us. I'm Nima Vidotti of the Freedom Fiends. We've also got Michael W. Dean. We're at the bottom of hour two, but that doesn't mean we're done with you just yet. We've got Travis here from Luna. Travis is the English lyricist. How are you doing, Travis?
I do have to interject here while the custom builds. I have to say that tomorrow we have an interview with Brendan Small, the creator of Death Clock, the greatest musical rock group in the world after Luna. And it's gonna be pretty cool. So yeah, Travis from Luna, he wants to talk about the music, because it is all about the music and the lyrics.
It is about the music. It is.
Well, what we were talking about earlier with tearing down one system to create something new, that was kind of the theme behind Chuck Palahniuk's book of the same name, Fight Club, and it's the same theme of Luna's song, Fight Club. Right now, there's so many different elements of society, and universally, it doesn't matter what country you're from, these are universal topics. And when you've got a system that's completely unmanageable, or you've got a life even that's completely unmanageable, you kind of have to just accept that you need to just get rid of the things that aren't working and just start new. And it really works. I did it even in my own life. I mean, I had a career of 15 years. I had, a house and all these other different trappings of success. And I just wasn't happy. So I got rid of it all. I went back to university, got my degree, and I just decided I'm going to do something I love and not worry about money, and everything's worked out just fine.
Excellent. Well, I think that the current system, the state, and that mindset that allows the state to perpetuate is rotten to the core. And so I do buy the line that at least that rotten core needs to be removed, because even if you do build outside systems, outside structures, if they become successful enough, the powerful in the state will come knock it down, right? If enough doctors just bypass insurance and have cash practices, then the government would just make it illegal, so what exactly. What is it about the core that you think is so rotten when it comes to the modern state?
Well, the bottom line is the biggest problem that we have is that, in America anyway, is that we don't have term limits on our congressmen, we don't have term limits on our senators, and that creates
I think the biggest problem is that we have congressmen and senators. I don't like the idea of rulers, and I always think it's asking the wrong question to think of like tweaking that system in some way.
Well, if you've got people that know they're only going to be there for a very short period of time, I think that would, in and of itself, that would improve the system. They would be responsive to our wishes instead of the wishes of their donors or
I don't know about that, because it seems like they might also just promise everything they can to steal as much as possible. I mean, there is a theory, not that we want to go back to kings, but kings tended to actually take better care of their subjects because they wanted to pass them on to their children. Whereas I think part of the reason that the economy is failing right now is because people who were in office for 4 years, 40 years ago, promised everything away.
Yeah, this could be. I mean, there's no perfect solution. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd have people that are just responsible for their own actions and respecting other people's privacy and rights, and we wouldn't have these issues. But there's always going to be, people that are of low moral character. There's always going to be people who are out to game the system or to create a system that games the society that it lives in. And that's what Luna's trying to do in Russia anyway, is they're trying to wake people up to the realities that are around them and be a voice for the people that think one thing but maybe are afraid to say it. And you can see it in their crowds in Russia, that people really, really respond to it really, really well. And the people we've seen so far on this U.S. tour, after one song, they've hooked the audience. It's an amazing nice. Phenomenon.
Well, it's excellent, I think, that you're realizing it's universal, right? This is a global issue. It's not about changing Russia. It's not about changing the government in the U.S. It's about changing human society. And I really appreciate you and Ruben being on the show today. Thank you so much, Travis.
We love being here. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Would it be possible to ask people to come to our shows?
Yes.
Yes.
Go rock out with Luna.
Yes, come to our shows, lunarocks.com, tour schedule. Come see us, meet us. We'll talk to you. We'll sign things. Appointment to listen
while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hi, Ruben Kazarian from Luna, and you're listening to Freedom Themes. Worms.